Now I call the meeting to order. As required by state law, this meeting is open to the public. Members of the public can participate in the meeting through the communication with the board agenda item later in the meeting. Public members are welcome to attend in person or can listen through remote connection by telephonic communication.
Please bow with me for prayer.
Lord, we thank you so much for being here with us. We know that you contain all the information that we need. We praise you and we glorify you. Please bless our community, bless our county, Lord. I ask a special blessing upon each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I think everybody here works here, except for the paper.
He almost does.
Yeah, almost does.
He's around here.
So I don't guess we have any visitors we need to point out. So we go to routine matters. I know y'all all had a chance to look at those, and I will need a motion to accept those.
Need to do your communication to the board first.
Communication to the board.
Okay. The board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda. I want to address the board.
Nope. I don't see anybody.
Yep.
Now the routine matters. You've all had a chance to read the minutes, financials, and all the routine matters. I need a motion.
Motion to approve.
So moved. Oh, he did it. Now second, I'll second.
Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Carry. Unfinished business. There's no unfinished business.
New business is visioning future directions. Madam President.
Okay. I am happy to report this is the last COVID-19 response status we will have. As you all know, as a part of when you first voted to go into altered operations after the governor of the state of Texas made the determination, we all know what was going on then, for emergency declaration for COVID, that gave you the authority to operate in altered operations, which you have done for 3 years. But the understanding from the very beginning was that, of course, obviously when the governor lifted, then we immediately would be out of altered operations. As a part of that, we also told you that we would be providing a monthly update, or whenever we had a regular board meeting, we would give you an update. And so 38 times later, this is your final one. And as you know, every time we would have things in blue that were new, but this one is totally in black. Except just for the month, and so basically this will be our last one. We are keeping all of these documents because we will also use these in the event that we were ever audited for federal reasons. Then we can show how we were operating and what we were doing, and this will be the last one. Also, the Open Howard College, obviously that was a part of when the state of Texas started opening back up. Then we came up with our own Open Howard College plan, and we've updated that numerous times. But, again, now we're basically, the way that thing was set up, if you remember, was that there was a green section. So we've moved back into green, which means we're back into normal. And as shared, some of the things that we were doing during the pandemic, obviously, they've gone away. The operation is going away. So do you have any questions about this? I will say reporting continues, and that's mainly on Brenda and team. But Brenda also, and Brenda, I didn't even... I saw just enough of the opening statement to see on the NCE. That's, I guess, the last. How many? What do you have to do? 3 reports over about 10 days. Two to the state of Texas, one to the coordinating board, one to the state auditor's office, and then LBB, and then Legislative Budget Boards is what that stands for. And then the last one was to the federal government for what you called NCE, or no cost extension. And that was basically to be able to do some of the things that we were doing. We wanted an extension for 12 months so that we could end up with some of the projects that had not totally completed out. That went in last week, and she got her, but I need to say some more. Brenda has stayed with our federal liaison to change twice, and basically we've been trying to ask permission as opposed to beg for forgiveness, so that we're making sure that we are getting all this money spent the appropriate way. And so she's been doing that along the way, and we've been able to, that's why our audits with our local external auditors, we've been able to get clean audits. They've been checking that part of our audit specifically with all the other things they do. Anyway, with that NCE that went in last Tuesday, we've already got a greetings, your request for a no-cost extension for our number for 12 months has been approved. And so we are in business for another 12 months with the money that we're working on some projects on, and those are the what you've already approved relative to the basically what we call the distance rooms. That is in motion, and then there's going to be one that we'll ask you to approve later on, and I won't say anything about that now since we'll have that later. So I have sent an email across the district that went out to thank everybody that's been involved in this. It's unbelievable that it's been 3 years. We had a very active team that was a part of those first March 2020 calls. We started, it was during spring break. I mentioned that before, and everybody was right on it, and we started making some really tough decisions very quickly. Our faculty, unbelievable what they did the next week, put everything online. Our staff, figuring out what to do. Everybody's just been incredible. And so we've made it to the other side, and now we are basically, we say we're back to normal, but we all know that we're handling things differently as a result of the pandemic, and we're trying to, just like what we're doing, had any of you decided that you wanted to Zoom today, we would have had that option available to you and had it within state law requirements, and of course, we have the call-in option for our public that's available to them. So we're doing some things differently as a result of the pandemic that we think has been some positive outcomes. So unless anybody has any questions about this, you will not be seeing this. We are retiring it, and it will not be on the agenda. So anybody have any questions? Okay.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Next item is monitoring. Purchasing.
We've got one more in new business, Mr. Chairman. San Angelo. San Angelo update on the special meeting.
Okay.
I was eating my squash and a little pepper. Somebody needs to mute. They've called in. Okay. Anyway, going back to our June 14th meeting, great meeting. I thought everybody just did an outstanding job. I wanted to give her, everybody can start giving me a hard time now. I want to thank our board for your attendance. John, no, you didn't get to go, but we know you wanted to be there. And we really appreciate that. Max, for taking on that job you were so excited about not taking on. Ben, you were pushing for that idea, and it really worked well. Mark, your time and Thank you very much, Andrea. She did all this work for us, and we really appreciate her. Adrian?
Thank you.
Everybody get your own. Marisha? Raul, we'll save that for him. Okay, all the board members have one, right? Yep, okay. All right, Pam, A plus to the San Angelo team.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and Terry, appreciate you being in here.
Yeah, you get one too.
Yeah, because your part on what, some of the facilities we were getting to, we were able to show. Andrea, for you, we really appreciate your time and effort going with us that day, and then the coverage. We really appreciate that.
Got a frame weight.
And yeah. Jeff was in. He was in the paper also. And Vince is telling you. Jeff, this is telling you you're next. Vince next.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Board members, is there anything that you would want to say about it?
I just wanted to say the Angelo campus was so welcoming and happy, and I think that we all learned hugely about it. And I hope we get to do that every year and show the San Angelo staff and students that we're their board as well, not just for graduation, but all year.
Good.
Second that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well said.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Performance measures and outcomes?
Yes, sir. And the only thing today we have in that section is in the performance excellence area, and it's going to be the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board financial condition analysis, and you have that report in your board book. You have basically a summary document, and then you have the full amount. But just talking about the summary of the report, and really I should have Brenda say some things, and I'll give you a little head start. You might want to, Brenda. But we always laugh about the fact that when they say that there's 0 to 1 financial stress indicator, which indicates there's no financial stress, and we have a green dot, and we're laughing because, well, we think they're stressed, but nevertheless, as far as the community colleges in the state, and there are several that have moved to green, 0 to 1 financial stress, but we've been there for several years, and that has a lot to do with what Brenda has, how she has guided that to happen. Brenda, is there anything that you would want to add to that report?
No, I mean, the good ratings are not good news because of the board and captain driven by either conservative and policies, procedures, and decision making that you do. And so thank you, appreciate it. It helps us be who we are. Thank you.
As y'all know, she has, you know. Okay. You know what she's going to say, Vinny. She's good.
She is.
Seems that we're on the good list with this.
Yes, we are. We like to be on the good list.
Okay, fifth year report.
Yes. This is just a very quick report. We'll have a more definitive one later. But we also got some really great news that our SAC COC, our fifth year report, is been asked to do a little bit of follow-up. You'll remember Amber had shared that, but we got the call, but everything was great, and so now we're moving on to the next 5 years, getting ready for it. And there will be a lot of activity. Amber will be coming to the board just to explain some of that, but we just wanted to give you that quick update.
Sounds good. Monitoring purchasing. Depository contract.
All right. All right, the depository bid, and Brenda, how do you, and I know Steve will come forward to do that, but I know you've been highly involved in that. I'll let y'all do that.
I'll just start with you. We put out the depository bid that we collected by state law every 3 years, and then we have 2 1-year renewals. We put it out to the local bank, and we had
Total six.
She does that to the Cordain board, too.
Just like you said, you start, I finish, just like at home.
We got 3 responses back from local banks, so we went through those and came up with one that we are going to recommend.
It was committee, Steve, Jeannie Carroll, who is our director of financial accounting, and myself. We had a scoring system, and it was about 8 criteria, and then whoever, you know, had the most points at the end of the day, that's how we determined which bank was the bank for us. And so we looked at that process. It's just kind of counting things, but you know, yes, questions with DB. And based on that process, well, we had 3 banks, and Wells Fargo is the one that had the most points. And for the bank that we have selected, we have currently with Wells Fargo, so we'll continue that relationship. Just overall, I feel like Wells Fargo offered a more, I'll say, comprehensive, you know, package for the college, you know, as a whole. So that was a lot of.
Doesn't Wells Fargo have the only bank in town that really has an international type?
Well, and that's probably, yes.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, and that does make a difference. You know, they have a branch at other towns, and, you know, our students live all over the place. You know, that branch is in San Angelo. So, and not that that was the determining factor, but that is a factor.
That is that it was a point for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it involves more than just depositing checks or depositing checks and writing checks.
Right.
It's investments. It's the way they check for fraud to make sure that the checks that are clearing through the bank are ones we truly issue. It involves our P cards, which is our purchasing credit cards.
Merchant services,
yeah, processing. Right. When people bring credit cards to paper bills, so it's quite involved as far as the services that we look for, and they have more robust. We've got like more robust services that could serve us.
Okay.
I'm going to need a motion.
Somebody
accept it.
I move. Second. Got a motion and second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion passed. All right. What is that looking?
We're going to tell you about it. Alertus Mass Notification System, and Fabian, so I know Fabian's, I saw him. Fabian has been the person really working this one and coming up with it, and since that question's been asked, Fabian, why don't you come forward and explain what Alertus is, and then Steve can give the business side of it.
Okay, so Alertus is a facility-based emergency notification system. And so there's 2 parts of this. There's a software part and a hardware part. So the software part is monitored by our security control operator here in the security department. And so if there's an emergency, let's say, for example, there's a spill in this hallway outside and everybody just needs to hold in place, then he can send an alert via the software side, and all these display boards, anybody's PC, their desktop unit, anybody with an app on their phone, they will receive that notification. So it can be as specific as one building or an entire campus. It can be the Big Spring campus, the La Mesa campus, the Swift campus, the Nambo campus, right? So if we have any type of emergency situation, from a spill in the hallway to a weather alert, an active shooter, whatever the case may be, this type of notification system will go out. The hardware part of it, of course, with campus, and let me go back, this is the same company that Gallaudet University uses. So for our SWIT campus, inside of our dorms, we would actually place what's called an alert beacon, and it's about the size of a tablet that would be mounted on the wall, and the outside perimeter of the device is just covered in LEDs. And so it also has an alarm. So as soon as an alert goes through it, those LED lights, they start flashing different patterns, and in the middle there's an LCD screen that will tell you what the alert is. Then also in, let's say, for example, in the TTC building where we have our building trades and our automotive class and our welding classes, we would have this, but since it's, like I said, the size of a tablet, 7x5, we would actually have an LED marquee sign above it so that they could read what the message is that's coming through. So that's basically it.
And we also saw this as an opportunity because HERF, this is one of the recommendations for the HERF money that we asked for, we got permission for on the no-cost extension that we could use the money for, because we see that as an emphasis on mental health. At this point, that's one of the things that they're really wanting us to look at, is the mental health aspect of the pandemic. And so because we know we see some of that manifestation of mental health that is happening in different ways, we felt like that this was a great opportunity to the alertists. We've been looking at it and felt like this was something that makes sense to do.
And we'll continue to use RAVE, because RAVE is an off-site notification system. Alertists is an on-site, right? The facility-based notification.
Okay. So Steve then, Fabian came up with the work, he researched it and all the things that needed to go with this, and then do your part, Steve.
All right. Well,
thank you.
To keep everybody legal, first time we're bringing it, because it's over $50,000, the time we're bringing it to you is one reason. The alert is under a Byboard contract, which we can purchase it under that contract, and we're going to probably, that would be the way we can go. But we're also bringing two other quotes to you because it's federal money, and because we have to get a couple of three quotes for federal money, and even one of those others is under Byboard. But we have three quotes. As Dr. Sparks said, it's under the HERF money, so it's a grant money rather than district money. We're recommending that it be to alert us, and we're going to buy it under the Byboard contract.
And I had noted to you earlier that we would be asking for authority to be able to do this as we awaited our approval, but we got it this morning. So now we're asking for the approval.
I forgot to add one thing. With the app, students can also report incidents back to the safety control operator. So they can report things back to the security department. They'll select which campus they're in. They can even take a picture and submit that information back to our security department.
That's cool.
We got to have that.
That's cool.
Does this have an ongoing cost? I'm assuming this is the purchase cost?
It does. There's a license fee is like $4,900 per year. So, yeah.
But this is mostly hardware.
Correct. So those alert beacons, we're purchasing 100 of them. And I think the price per beacon is around $680 per unit.
But going forward, with the technology software in place, then it's going to be the basically $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And were all three really offering the same banks? There's substantial difference in pricing.
Yeah, so the other two reached out to the same salesman from Alertus based on what we were needing. So same conversations I was having with him, the other two were having with him also. Yeah.
Wow. So it's all going to come from the same.
It all comes from, yeah, and they provided us a sole source provider letter, but because it's federal money, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Brittany.
It's federal money. They're three separate companies. They're just, they sell all of these products.
Right.
And
what it's all purchased from.
Gotcha.
No, they're not the same company.
Gotcha.
It's that makes sense. Truly separate.
Yeah, okay.
Had this not been the federal situation, then we would have been able to alert us basically with sole source.
Yeah.
And we would have just, and they were by board,
got
and we would
it.
Have been able, but because it's
got
a federal
it.
Grant, yeah. And Brenda's going to be audited on it, and that's one of the things that's required with these HERF monies, is you've got to have three bids. So, same company. These people, basically, these other two companies, are selling Alertus.
Yeah.
Separate EIN. Makes sense.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Yep.
It's cool.
Anybody else? Do I have a motion to accept the bid?
Okay.
Motion second.
Second.
Yeah. Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Handbook and catalog change.
Okay. The only thing that we have today, as far as any changes, are in the employee handbook, and those relate to you've got copies of those that are included in your core book. We basically have some things that we've had to change on 5.3 as well as 5.5 and 9.4. But what's happening, too, that we wanted you to be aware of with some of the changes that are happening, it changes up the numbering of because we combined, let me make it clear, Rhonda, who knows that employee handbook like the back of her hand, has gone in and has made sure that we've tried to condense what we could, put the same kind of information and policies that it belonged to, and basically we were able to get rid of one. And so then that then changes your numbers. Rhonda, would there be anything else you'd want to add?
Okay. Need a motion to accept. That. Second.
Second.
Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Administrative and professional contract.
Okay. Every year, you've already approved several sets, as you know, as far as when we go through getting ready for the employee list and part of the budget. And this is the deans and directors. These are individuals that are on contracts. And exempt staff, and so we're recommending these individuals to you.
Do I get a motion?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Construction and renovation, do we want to?
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit because, of course, we had the tour and Terry gave us a good overview of that. But I know he was going to talk a little bit about some of the work orders, change orders, not work orders. Terry, you want to address that?
Well, I think you saw this for those of you that came. I think you saw that. There's been a lot of work that's been accomplished. I would say that generally we're a little bit behind schedule for no fault of our own. It's just mostly material delays, lighting fixtures, heating and air conditioning, and those type of things that are just really outside of our control. The 280-day time frame from start to finish that was predicted, I think we're going to miss it a little bit. Hopefully not too much, but we're working really hard to try to get these buildings finished before fall semester. And hopefully with a little luck, we'll still make that. As far as change orders, so far on the music building, under consideration now are two that are relatively small, a little over $3,000 a piece. And I think, Dr. Sparks, that you approved those.
Yeah, and I mentioned those when we were over there.
And so Part of it is finishing details and things like that, some things that we decided to do differently for various reasons. On the library, however, there's one change order to add a handrail that's within Dr. Clark's authority that you granted her. And that handrail, as you saw, the north ramp, Dr. Sparks, and we just felt like that there was a need for a railing there because we didn't want somebody, you know, walking up the back door and she's falling off that ramp. And it's not a big drop off, and yet we just kind of, just for a safety precaution, we just wanted that. And then the other one that we talked briefly about was some rework on some of the heating and air conditioning ductwork. There was some asbestos that was abated from the supply ductwork, which necessitated removing the insulation. And rather than re-insulating the supply duct, we determined with the help of the architects and engineers at Park Hill that we could bring that return air back through the plenum, which is the space between the roof and the ceiling, and that would keep the supply ductwork from basically sweating like when there was high moisture content. And so that saved us a lot of money. And so that's that change order, which is number 23, is in the amount of $62,383. Now, I said it saved a good bit of money. The other alternative was almost $250,000. And so, you know, we believe this is a good choice. As I said, the architects and engineers have approved it. And so that's for your consideration today. Is there anything else you'd like me to add, Dr. Sparks?
No, I think everything is
good. Anyone have any questions about the reports, the monthly report, or what you saw this morning?
That's great.
With the rain, hail, sleet, and snow we've had, is the heat affecting anything?
Well, you know, fortunately, the library space still has air conditioning. But because, and I don't think it was mentioned this morning, but the music building was re-roofed as part of the restoration to that building. And Phil Parkman, who's our architect from the music building, specified a lot of insulation on that roof. So that's going to help us through the hot part of the summer. I mentioned that there was a delay in the heating and air conditioning units. Those units we were expecting them mid-May, and mid-May we were notified that delivery was delayed for 90 days. So what we were expecting in May is now not going to be here till August. There are certain things. The building will have a little bit of air conditioning on the west side, which is a different type of unit that we were able to get on site and get operational. But depending on how we're able to control the temperature in that building, for example, they will not install the ceiling tile because if the weather got too hot and too humid, it can cause those ceiling tiles to sag, and we don't want that look. So, you know, I don't know whether, you know, the heat, I'm sure there's a lot of demand for heating equipment, air conditioning equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be part of this problem. We're not really sure. It's supply chain problems is the general explanation when we ask.
Do we need to put a motion on this?
Yes, because that side of the change order. Yes.
Okay. So a motion to approve the change order.
Second.
Got a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Let's take this training center.
And before we go there, let me thank you, Mr. Chairman, for catching that. on that because we didn't have that price until this morning. So you caught it. See, you didn't even have a note on there.
And you
knew. There you go.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
All right. You're catching on. John would have caught that too. Okay. Going to the training center, as you know, last week as a part of your tour, we were able to look at, and Pam, I know, brought the renderings again today, and you didn't. Okay. You forgot them. No, it's okay. I'm sure everybody remembers. But we had the opportunity to go through and look at the West Texas Training Center and discuss the future plans that we have for that space. We also mentioned the fact that, we really appreciate the fact that we've been able to lease that space from Shannon. We're going to continue that. We've worked out an agreement with them on the lease another year, but we're all with the understanding, depending on how things are going, it might have to be extended some more. But we are trying to move forward with moving those programs back to the campus. And of course, as you know, there'll be some renovation that will need to happen. And you'll be hearing more about that in the months ahead. But wanted to. Does anybody have any questions about the training space that we talked about that day? I know we talked a little bit when we were walking around, but okay. And then I'll just go ahead, Mr. Chairman, if it's okay, on the electrical plumbing trades lab. Of course, that right now is a dream, and we've got people that are helping us with that project, and we'll have more about that at the next board meeting. But we, again, that's going to be a great addition to our San Angelo campus. As you know, that day you'd already passed that resolution to the Home Builders Association, the support that they've been giving us. They're really working with a lot of the companies and contractors, and so that was great to be able to recognize them that day. And so, again, we'll be back with more information on that. Anybody have any questions about that trades lab? I think we showed you all.
Where are they going to put that?
It will be over there by the existing lab, the Builders in San Angelo Workshop. It'll be right next to it. You know where the windmill was? Okay? So it's right there on that other side. I think Pam is referring to it as...
what did you say?
Construction Row. Yeah, Construction Row. And we're just kind of, putting a lot of those labs. We don't know if we'll have any more, but for sure those two. Okay.
All right. Student Information Systems Project.
All right. Eric and Brian.
Here we go.
And Amy.
You want me talking about the technology piece of it?
we continue to go through data conversion things. Right now, we're working out of both systems. We've been scheduling meetings to go over finalizing the way the transcript looks, working on degree audits, working on TSI calculations, getting the core to show up on the transcript. And there's been a lot of talk recently about Blackboard integration and bringing grades from Blackboard back over the camps to help reduce the kind of data entry from the faculty side. And I know there's going to be some more training for CE that are going on. There's been a lot of talk about getting CE set up and going in their first quarter in the fall. So.
Is that Zogotech integration?
The data warehouse, Zogotech, has been starting the integration with them. They've implemented Zogotech at several other schools, so they're like, both companies have familiarity with getting that set up, so hopefully that'll take a little quicker.
Y'all attended the conference.
Oh.
The only thing that happened, Brian was there. It was his birthday, and we sent him a text, and Eric said he hadn't seen him all day.
Oh, really? Yeah, interesting.
Although I think he was sitting across the table from him.
I got good luck. The conference was good. We learned a lot about how, you know, we got to meet with the other community colleges in Texas to have camps as well and get to interact with them and see how they're utilizing what we're trying to utilize right now. So it's been really, it's a great experience to see and work with other schools. And yes, I was there.
Is it in Austin?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh.
All right.
Wow. Nice. It's good to see the fall. Awesome, man. Good.
On your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good birthday.
Very good.
I like it.
The state reporting piece, they're starting to make sure, you know, all these pieces are fitting together.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Those state reports have to be accurate for us to get credit for things. So. Cool.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of
these,
back and forth going on. So, yeah, there's still talking about, you know, some of the data fields that go into the reporting for state reports. So, a lot going on.
Okay, but they're still, Eric is maintaining his patience very well. Any day I'm like, oh, he's going to snap.
I think the toy got alertus, right?
Yeah.
It all kind of works together.
You weren't supposed to say that.
Everyone's going to meet you live. Man, I need to learn that CAMS thing. And so they're pointing them down. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay. And so come last of July, first of August, will be extremely busy. So
Yeah. That Zogatec, is that like a cloud thing? Is that what that is? Is that
it's a data warehouse, so they just accumulate our data like every night, and they do some processing for calculations. So they do a lot of things like.
Okay.
Sorry to describe it. Really, it does a lot of different things, but it's a data reporting tool.
Okay. Cool.
It's a user-friendly data reporting tool that makes it.
So people like me can use it and get the data without having to write the program to do that.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, that's helpful. Awesome.
Wouldn't the state reporting, isn't that common across all 50 community colleges? So wouldn't CAMS already know the fields that are required from
the state reporting? The fields are there. It's just... the way different schools operate is a lot of the values are the same, but getting the data in is a little different. But they have the reports set up and programmed.
Terms are coded differently at different colleges, even though you might have the same.
And we have SWIS, it's reported differently.
You would think that since the state is, you do it our way, that everybody has to do it their way. That it would be common, it would be not exactly off the shelf.
There's a lot of changes going on right now, too, because we're switching to the 8-week model. Courses that were marked a certain way in the past, they're now changing to. And so it's kind of a culmination of a lot of changes going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of commonality within these community colleges as a customization.
Yeah.
So making that mix. Well, is where we're at now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But that was one of the things that we did like about CAMS is the fact that they had Texas schools, so that they did know the Texas system. And then knowing that that I'll talk about a little bit in a minute, that we were going to this new funding system, that they have other Texas schools that they're going to need to be learning how they are changing too. So.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
All right, and if you will allow me, I can probably take you all the way to the end here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so upcoming activities, you have your calendar. You can obviously tell that it's the summer month. We don't have a lot of the activities on there that you generally see are relative to students, but we do have the summer sessions that are happening. You do see that we're having an appreciation come and go for Emma on Wednesday. you may have some new.
Yeah.
I said you may have some new.
Well, we have decided, Gershman and I have decided, we're not moving to Houston, but we're moving up to Lubbock. So we will continue to be a part of things for the community. So we will continue to attend First Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I will be here assisting the college till hopefully end of July instead of this week.
Awesome.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, there, that was... That information is still kind of leaking out. But Shannon, if anybody was happy, it was Shannon. She was like, I think you'd had, what, not even 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
To be exact.
Hey.
Not that
yeah.
I knew.
And so, and so we're going to be able to have Emma just a little longer. We almost decided we weren't going to tell her have a goodbye thing for her on Wednesday, but we decided... In case she gets a job a little sooner, we go ahead and be nice, and so we're doing that. All right, so we have the summer sessions. Y'all are invited to come by. We're having the summer sessions, as you can tell. Summer one ends on Thursday, and then summer two begins on the 12th. Goat Camp, we will have summer break next week. All sites are closed, but we do have some things that continue to happen, and so... We're having a bunch of goats come in, and we're learning how to, teaching little kids how to work with goats. So that's going to be happening. Summer conference, July 19th through the 21st. A lot of times, you know, I go to the summer conference. It's the president's group, but we're doing it, they're doing it a little differently this year. They are allowing us to bring some other participants because of the new formula change. And so I've asked Amy and Brian and Brenda. I got to leave off Brenda. She's the one who's going to probably be doing one of the sessions. But anyway, they're going to be there, and we're going to be able to, as different colleges, they'll bring basically it's the same kinds of groups that will be there. And we'll be able to share how we are implementing. And I'll go ahead and just kind of talk a little bit about some of the legislative and general updates. As you all know, Brenda is on the committee that we used to have a committee called the Formula Advisory Committee. That went away when the legislation, when the governor signed and made the legislation official. Then now it is a committee of the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, and that went away, the old committee. There's already discussion, and that's one of the things that Brenda and that group is working on. They're working on basically rulemaking, and there is a process whenever the legislature passes law, the governor signs it, then it goes into rulemaking with the coordinating board, and sometimes it takes a while, even though it's implemented at a certain time. The way they did this particular legislation, they wanted the rulemaking to be emergency rulemaking that would happen this summer because things go into place in September, and then they will continue to do some more work during the year. So Brenda and team, they have been working diligently on some of this emergency rulemaking. And quite frankly, we're still in the middle of it. They're making a lot of progress, but some of the changes that they focused on already, instead of a 20-member team, I think it was 20 or 24, they're going to go to 12, which is kind of the same size as the Formula Advisory Committee used to be, but they're going to condense it. They've talked about we used to get our money sent out over a 10-month period. Now it's going to be three times. They've decided what times of year. So that's happened. One of the biggest discussions that is going on right now is the FAST dollars. And that, I really hate to say too much public about that, but there's still a lot of conversation going on about that one, and they're working on what the final rules will be for that. But that is the money that the dual credit students that are disadvantaged will have access to. And we are going to be working with the school systems on that as we get more definitive information. The other thing that is happening right now is that as a part of that rulemaking, and some of that rulemaking starts in the coordinating board, and then this committee is just kind of fine-tuning it. And so they originally, as a part of the legislation, it was always intended that there would be a set amount by the coordinating board on what we would be able to charge for dual credit students. And they're, but they've kind of expanded. It's not just going to be for the students that are in the FAFSA dollars. It's going to, instead of getting the FAFSA dollars, it's going to be for all dual credit students. And so I'm going to hold on that a little bit because there's, y'all are still talking about some of that, and we're not quite to a point that that's finalized, but they're talking about it so much per hour. Community college presidents, there's a lot of, that's why I'm kind of holding a little bit. There's still conversation going on about how that's going to work, and so at the next board meeting, we'll have more information. And I will, as I get more information, I will share it with you. We still, as far as how, again, remember there's the performance tier and there's the base tier. And the base tier basically is also still under discussion. That's where the smaller schools will get additional money based on a certain formula. Brenda and I, she's way ahead of me, but we've tried to figure out the formula, kind of how, and it's almost like until we get our dollars, it's hard to totally understand. She may be getting closer to understanding it now, but I know that, you know, we've both been kind of, some of this is not making sense yet, and so there's just a lot of conversation that's still going on with the presidents. We're in a great scenario in that Brenda's on the committee, so we're getting a head start on the information. But I know that with other presidents, we've got, you know, their conversations going back and forth, texting and emailing, and everybody's trying to figure out, you know, exactly how is this going to work. Yeah. And so it is making it difficult to be able to move as quickly with our budget as we would like, because even though we have some dollars, I mean, they've given us some dollar information, but yet they've also told us basically don't bank on it, you know, because we're still going through all the rulemaking process.
Yeah.
So when we have that workshop for y'all on August the 14th, Monday, August the 14th, it is going to be, this is still on the 7th, it should be on the 14th. You will have the opportunity then, we'll take you through and help you understand, you know, we should know better by then what it's going to look like. Because by the end of July, they have to take it to the coordinating board and have it approved because of the board, an actual coordinating board. Right now, they're working with the coordinating board staff. And so that will be approved by the end of July. Brenda, is there anything else you want to add right now that you feel comfortable saying?
I think the information is just going to keep it all together.
It is a slow process. We're asking everybody within the college district, of course, we're asking you as a board to be patient with us. We're asking everybody in the college district to be patient with us because we really don't have answers. You know, I mean, we're piecing it together as fast as we can. And Brenda, again, is in a great position to be able to get that information. And then she's sending information, you know, she's letting me know what she heard. And then the president, there's a small college president, Frank Phillips. He's on there, and he's being able to give us some feedback. Small college, so we're going to be looking at metrics, the performance tier, that is really, that's next up for y'all to discuss. And so we're still waiting for some of that. So it's just, it's a slow process, but we will get there. They, as you know, they, and again, I'm just jumping around here, but they're in a special session. The special session was called mainly for tax and border, and I think everybody knows how the House and the Senate got crossways with each other on that, and the House was really aligning more with what the governor was suggesting, and they basically gaveled out and went home. And the Senate has continued to work. It does appear that there's going to be some compromise, maybe, that's going to happen. That's not, at this point, the governor did sign the budget bill, and so that was something, frankly, I was watching very myself, hoping that there was nothing happened there. But that was approved, and so now we will see what happens with the tax part of that. We know that there's just our legislature, you know, we know that with the AG trial that's basically going to be coming up, there's just a lot of different kinds of activity in the legislature right now. And we anticipate that there will be more than one special session. So that's what we know right now. It doesn't seem to be impacting the community colleges at this point. Okay, recognitions. I wanted to, I did think of some others after we did this, the memo. I wanted to share the fact that last week on, I guess it was Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Pam, when we were recognized, you want to share what the chamber, the recognition the chamber got. We had to be quiet about it until that happened.
So there was a mid-year conference for the Texas Economic Development Group of all over the state. There are people there, and our San Angelo Economic Development team with the chamber, they won the award for our population. It was 150,000 people in our community, and they won the award for their innovation and everything that they're doing. And in their proposal, they included a lot about how the college and our partnership with them and everything we've done. And they asked us to be there with them because they basically were sharing it with us. So they'll be sending it out, getting on social media. So it was a real honor for them and for us to be included.
Yeah. So we've had to be quiet about that, but now we can talk out loud about it. We're very excited for them, and the fact that they were very, from the very beginning, when they were told they were going to get the award, they were immediately giving us a lot of credit and said that that's one of the reasons that they wanted representation from Howard College to at the event with them. So way to go, Pam and group.
Yeah. And we need to give credit to the FDIC as well for the partnerships we have with the three of us. And they weren't able to be there that day, but we want to have a call.
Yes. All right. And then I wanted to also just mention, and we'll be bringing back to you, we did receive good news from the Big Spring Area Foundation, two different, our dual credit, what we call first flight scholarships, were funded again, as well as the Greg Henry scholarships. So we'll be bringing back a resolution for you all to approve that. We did not ask for our SWID, we call it the first rattle. We didn't ask for the SWID first rattle this time because the last two, we have received money for that, the last two go-rounds, but we are still, I've mentioned to y'all before, we are still advocating in the state of Texas for deaf and hard of hearing students to have better access to dual credit. There are some limitations right now through the testing that we're concerned about. We've been talking to the coordinating board about it for months, and we're continuing to advocate on that. And so we felt like that we needed to it was not appropriate to ask for the money until we got that worked out with the coordinating board trying to open some doors. But we are going to be able to do some other things with that money, and so we're beginning to use that scholarship money. Okay, and also, I'm just writing all these little notes, but I wanted also Brenda Kay. This has been basically a first year for her, and she went through the Big Spring Leadership Group and was in the paper the other day, so thank you for... I think when we first mentioned it, that she needed to get in Leadership Big Spring, she kind of gave me that deer in the headlight look, you know, like, how can I do this too? And but I think she felt like it was a good experience.
Yeah,
learned a lot.
And
well, I'll say at the chamber meeting the other day, they congratulated Bridget and said that she had finished the Leadership Big Spring, and they appreciated her participation and bus driving.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Great.
Yes. She, well, and y'all need to know that. That's something that we've done for the chamber for a long time. Howard College has provided the transportation for the Leadership Big Spring. And so in the past, when it was a larger group, we used the bus. But then as the group has become smaller over the last few years, we've been doing the van. So whoever happens to be the Big Spring or SWID person driving the van. And so she's been doing that. Awesome. So we appreciate that. Also, in the paper, there was the article about John Overton attending the Marine Corps Educators Workshop. Some of you may have noticed that. But anyway, very proud that John was able to go to that. And also, we think that it will enhance the training program. And then there is a person by the name of Max Barr that... has been. I won't say what his brother's name is.
Don't do it.
Okay. But Max Barr and he and his brother and his dad, his family, were recognized by the Heritage Museum as honorees in the Cowgirl Hall of Fame this year, and so maybe some of you saw it. Something about Max and that guy that's his brother, they were very active in the livestock showing when they were younger. And I mean, y'all, and you need to tell everybody what you did, your experience, and how you were on TV.
Well, when I was a kid, we were in the 4-H club, and we showed steers, Hereford steers, around at different stock shows. And there's one nearly in every town, you know. There's Fort Worth, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, Odessa. There's a lot of them, El Paso. And we managed to win quite a bit. And so we got our name recognized. And at the end of one of those, my parents got a call from Mimi somebody, I forgot her last name, but she's from New York. She worked for Goodson Todman, and it was the To Tell the Truth producers, and they wanted me to come up there and be on the show. So I went up there and was on the show.
You had to tell the truth.
Everybody else was lying.
Yeah, so a pretty neat experience. And I think everybody will remember that Max's dad, Max and that brother, other brother, dad.
That goes over here.
Yeah. We won't say his name. Buddy Barr, James Barr, was on this board for 19, almost 20 years.
Long time.
Yeah, very long time. And I was chair of the board. Great man. Wonderful guy, and so it was really, I thought, a really nice gesture for your entire family, because you know, bringing up your dad, and of course it was about those two brothers, but it was also about your dad. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Here you go. All your things.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's see, what else? Okay. I know y'all all love your cybersecurity training, and you are, some of you are done. I won't say who's not.
I'm not. I'm laughing.
Yeah.
I am.
Oh, no.
I am not.
Yeah.
How many days do we have?
Oh,
we
four.
Forever.
Yeah, dude, yeah. 4 days. Please, yeah. Plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Do Amanda on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love that.
Find me at 10 o'clock on Friday.
Anyway, all right, so y'all are very close. I know that. And so just need to get that done. And then finally on the agenda, we also, the Community College Association of Texas Trustees, CAT, has a board, as we all know, and that is the trustee association that is kind of aligned, it's not kind of, it is aligned with the Texas Association of Community Colleges, and they have been, they've asked if there would be anybody that would be interested in running for election to the CAT board, and we happen to have a gentleman by the name of Ben who's willing to do that, willing to serve, but there has to be a nomination from the board. Mr. Chairman will need, we've got a letter ready for him to sign, and then Ben will have to, he basically has to, kind of like a...
I wrote a letter of submitted with the other.
Yeah.
They're looking for, they seem to be searching, reading between the lines from Nicole Eversman, who many of you know from other times. They seem to be having a hard time finding someone from the small colleges. There are board members from the small colleges, the medium colleges, the large colleges, and the extra large colleges. And it seems like they're having... she jumped when I asked a question about it. She jumped right back at me. As if, you know, please, you know.
Yeah.
So I figured it's sort of like this, you know, some of the other things that we do. It's increased visibility for Howard College. It's sort of like having, you know, having someone on the board to deal with the money, you know, Brenda. You know, I mean, if we have an eye and an ear and we, you know, you go to a meeting or you do something and it says Howard College, I mean, that's a plus. And I think we've been in the shadows for a very long time. So maybe it's time just to be less in the shadows.
So,
if you're willing to serve, I think it's great.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be terribly strenuous. But again, it's just something where it will be noted that someone from Howard College, she said she didn't think there ever been from Howard College, that, you know, Howard College's name will pop up. It's just like they do a lot of stuff with where they have awards and whatever. You know, most of us didn't stick around very long in New York for that luncheon where they were giving out all the awards.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow, we never seem to get nominated or nominate ourselves or whatever the process is for any of this. And maybe we should start thinking about doing that. Maybe we need to stand a little taller.
Sure.
It's up to you.
So I thought I'd try it. We'll see if it works.
Okay. All right, so we need a...
I'm nominator.
Okay. All those in favor, I guess.
Would you need a second or anything?
You need a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay.
A second. All those in favor? Say
aye.
All right. You have completed everything that's on the agenda, unless there's something else somebody wants to bring up.
Ready to adjourn.
Okay.
The governor of Texas is...
The power of the Johnson has given you.
All right, your next board meeting again is Monday, August the 14th. That's on the calendar. That should be, it's 14th. Not the 7th, it's the 14th.